Reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, Priyatama, the most beloved, text 16 to 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Actually, we'll read text 19 to 21. Sri Parikshad Uvacha Udavo Chanta Sambranto Tutam Utaya Tatpado Nithayanke Samalingya Tasya Bipretya Riddhatam It Prapta Bhagavat Tattat Prasada Bharabhajana Tadiya Prema Sampati Vibhava Smriti Yantrita Yodana Vivisho Dino Yatnatayam Strito Munim Avadayaha Matsayat Satrikat Pramudam Gatam. Sri Parikshit said, impelled by great respect for Narada, Buddha suddenly stood up, held Narada's feet, and embraced them. Aware of what Narada was thinking, Uddhava remembered many devotees who had received the Lord's special favor. As Uddhava meditated on those devotees, their love for the Lord, and the wealth of their loving ecstasies, he felt distressed, thinking himself fallen, and cried helplessly. Only with some effort was he able to regain his composure. Then he became joyful and spoke to the sage, moved by sattvic emotion of jealousy. Commentary. Uddhava knew that Narada was thinking about how to find the best recipient of the Supreme Lord's favor. He intelligently deduced this from the way Narada was acting. This logical conclusion led Uddhava to remember many famous Vaishnavas of the past who had enjoyed the Lord's favor. The ecstasies of pure Vaishnavas, which appear on their bodies as perspiration, trembling, crepitation, and so on, are the priceless treasure of those Vaishnavas, a treasure whose value can be estimated only by Vaishnavas following in their footsteps. As Uddhava meditated on the great fortune of Krishna's devotees, he felt undeserving. He experienced the essential devotional prerequisite of dainya, utter humility. For Uddhava to regain his composure required great effort, plus the help of Narada, Balaram, and the others. Uddhava was next confronted by the bhava of jealousy, intolerance of others' good fortune. This transcendental jealousy, however, was sattvika, born from pure goodness, untouched by the influence of passion and ignorance. Therefore, it was a cause of joy. Having no trace of hatred, this ecstatic jealousy gave no distress to Uddhava or anyone else. Rather, in this jealousy, he entered even deeper into the trance of his attraction to Krishna, just as devotees in the conjugal mood become ever more blissfully attached to Krishna when jealous of his other lovers. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksurumulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Napitam yena bhutale Sayam rupa kadamayam Yadati sa padantikam Vancha kalpa turubhyascha Kripa shindhu vayedhacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Excuse me. Greetings from near Newburgh, New York, New Windsor, at the home of the Revals. I've been using this as a base the last few days while I was making trips into Manhattan. And sometimes people like that I share what I'm doing, not what I'm doing, but the people here are doing. They had a program Friday night at the Broom Street Temple in Soho, Little Italy, where they have Radha Krishna deities, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful temple. And that's where Kastuba has the Radha Damodar deities. It's really amazing. What they had is a program where Radhanath Swami was speaking, and on inner transformation. But because the maximum amount of people is about 100, the program wasn't advertised. It was just that the people who were in New York, like Astuba, Raghunath, Vasanath, others like that, just invited people that they were meeting and talking who were interested in inner transformation. And so nice. I mean, 100 people there. I mean, it was really wonderful. 100 people there, and it's so nice because I remember, maybe 5 years ago, someone who was a Hare Krishna. Imagine lucky if one or two people came that were not Indians, because Indians are actually attracted by the culture. Just a really wonderful thing. I was just so many people coming up to me, meeting people. It was just a wonderful function. And then yesterday I went to the 12-hour kirtan, and that was just wonderful. I mean, it's just, every hour it changes, mostly the devotees, but other people who have become favorable also did kirtan, and it was just amazing, amazing. It actually went 13 hours. So, today I may even go back, just take darshan of the deities there, having another festival, maybe, and then visit some few people. I wanted to visit Samantha and some other people, so we'll see about that. But it's also nice because when I'm here, one of the brothers drives me, so it's a whole other world for me. Driving in, finding your own parking spot, and someone driving it makes it so much, so much easier. Otherwise, I think I would have went in just once. Okay, today, of course, Narada's search, and he's getting pretty high now. That's kind of, I don't know what you call it in literature, I forgot, but high, it means two things. He's getting high because he's so ecstatic in this search. It's the search of the soul. There was also a function on Wednesday night where the person who's the head of that yoga studio, Eddie Stern, he has a charity which teaches yoga in the schools in New York City for spiritual upliftment. So he invited Radhanath Swami to that. And this is a $500 a plate dinner at a very prestigious place where they host these things. And, those things where before you come in, there's a background. They take picture of all the celebrities. So some of them, I'll just know the names. I don't know them. Some of them, of course, I've heard. Well, Madonna, Gwen Paltrow, Christy Turles. I mean, there was a list of the biggest celebrities, John Lennon's son, and all, you know, really dressed up in after Kostuba told me, I went online and they had the pictures of all the celebrities that were at this event. And Radhanath Swami was there, and Kostuba described it. It was very nice that he, you know, after John Lennon's son did four songs, then someone said, and here's Radhanath Swami. Someone was supposed to introduce him, but no one introduced him. So everyone was just talking. You know, it was a big social hubbub going on in the audience. And Kostuba was saying, oh, my God, you know, there's no introduction. And then Radhanath Swami got up there. He's supposed to have 2 minutes to speak. I think he used 10, and he went, Om Agana Timarandasya. And then he said, slowly it was getting quiet, and people going, shh. By the time he finished it, it was really quiet. And then Kostuba said that his first line was, he said, 31 years ago in Calcutta, I met Mother Teresa, and I could never forget what she told me. That people there's a problem of hunger. But more than the problem of hunger of the stomach, there's the problem of hunger for the heart. And then, he went in and explained. Kostuba said everyone, Madonna was in the front row, just hands looking. And so it was really, really successful. So there's something really wonderful happening in New York in spiritual. Even the 12-hour kirtan, it means all day long people are coming, new people are coming and sitting down and hearing the kirtan. It was just a wonderful, wonderful fun. I really enjoy them so much. I have a little place where I sit, and except for 1 hour for lunch, I stay the whole time. And it's a wonderful, incredible. And then at the end, Achyuta did the Nisringa prayers, and Gauravani told the story. And they had this incredible guitarist, I mean, top, and this very wonderful lady violinist, accompanying them with Ananta Madanga, and it was Gauravani Harmonium, and it was really a wonderful, wonderful function. So I'm eager. I'll probably go in today because that's our ecstasy. The soul is hankering for God, and hankering for God means hankering for God's devotees. Bhakti runs on the tracks of sadhu sangha, the tracks of association with great souls. Wow, it's going to be a class today. So many people in this house. Their older brother, who's a doctor, came with four of his family members. So Narada, you know, we got that image. It's deep emotion. It's hankering. It's want. It's desire. Spiritual to serve, but to the highest degree. So the effects are similar. He moves helplessly, but not helplessly, because when you are helpless before God, then you're directed by God, and your capabilities, they move to a higher degree. It's called empowerment. There's a shakti, an energy of God that can move through those that are surrendered to Him, that enable them to do things in a wonderful way. So it's almost like a contradiction. You're helpless, you're emotional, but you're directed. And love moves through your body, and you're in a state of ecstasy. So as Narada arrives, Krishna is disturbed, and all the residents of Narada, who he's searching for, Uddhava, who's this exalted devotee, very intimate, so intimate, so much taking the desire of Krishna within his heart that the desire colors not only his attitude but his whole complexion. He becomes, he looks like Krishna. His spiritual identification with Krishna, the oneness in the desire to serve. You don't become the person absolutely, but you take on so much of the person that you become one with the person. I've seen this phenomenon with sons and fathers sometimes. You know, the mannerisms, everything. So, so Krishna is disturbed, and they're all around worried about Krishna, but Narada comes, so they attend to his arrival, and he's in such an emotional state because it's louder. There's a voice in the heart of, I want Krishna, I want Krishna's devotees, and it's like a child. I want. He's overwhelmed by this desire. Desire can overwhelm one. He's overwhelmed. He's crying. He's shaking. And they wipe his face gently as not to disturb Krishna. They speak quietly. And then they say that we've never seen anything like this, because it's very rare. To see the overt, full manifestation of Prema Bhakti is very rare. We've never seen. And Narada, he opens his eyes with great difficulty, and he's trembling. He's trembling. And, you know, they said, we've never seen anything. And Narada replies that he's the emotion. He's trying to express what his thing is. He's just so much wants to get the association. Please, please arrange for the association of Uddhava. And he said, I'll be at peace. I can get a particle of dust. In other words, you're not peaceful because you want something. You're not peaceful. You can want something. And if you get it, you can be satisfied. You want something. So pacify the child. The child's crying. Okay, you give it to them. Then they stop crying. So Narada wants, and what does he want? He wants a particle of dust. And when they say particle of dust of defeat, it's trying to, it's an expression of how much someone values God and God's devotee. That it's so valuable that the smallest amount can satisfy me. It's like, you know, someone wants money. Of course, it's just an analogy. Let me have a drop, just a drop of Bill Gates' money. Right? Okay, here's $100,000. It's a drop. If you say, let me have a drop of his money, then what does it indicate? The wealth he has. So this is the exalted nature. And then they quote different, Narada is referring to different things he's heard in the Shastra about how great Uddhava is. As Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, among devotees, it's Uddhava. And then there's a quote that he's even better than Brahma and Shiva and Balaram. Okay, Balaram is the servant to Godhead, but he's also God. But so among categories, but Uddhava outside of Vrindavan is just the most intimate. The intensity of his love is just amazing. And now we'll go and discuss today's verse, which is interesting because it's describing these ecstatic emotions that Uddhava has. He's impelled. He sees that Uddhava has when he sees. He holds Narada's feet. He embraces him. He's aware that Narada is thinking he's a great devotee. And first he feels humble, and then he feels jealous. And it's understand in the frame of reference this way, that great devotee means there's no false conception of the self. So we can say ego or false ego. There's no false conception of the self. He doesn't have that desire to be the center, and therefore doesn't think of oneself as the center. And therefore, whatever emotions that are born are not born from that false conception, which is the desire. It's not only the misconception to be the center, it's the desire to be the center. It's the desire to serve. It's the desire to enjoy, and therefore it's the desire to control. So he has this humility. And therefore when he's glorified, he begins to think of the other devotees. We've gone that this is natural. A basic spiritual quality is to think of others before yourself. And when one is elevated to the highest level of devotion, the degree that you think of others before yourself extends to the highest degree. In fact, in samadhi, even in the concept of samadhi, even for impersonal samadhi, the object, when you're thinking of the object of your meditation, you forget of yourself as the subject. What to speak of love? So it's so natural. It's so natural for a spiritual person to not be selfish. And it's really the test of our spiritual life. How much of our life and our happiness and distress is based on this core egotistical conception of me, me, me. In fact, I think there's a writer, I think it's called Tom Wolfe, a famous writer recently. And he was considered one of the greatest journalists or essayists. And he wrote this, he was so disgusted by the hypocrisy of the 60s. I maybe some good parts of it too, but the hypocrisy is people saying, well, you know, I just think of myself, called the me generation. He wrote an article called the me generation. That's why, spiritually, for most people, marriage is good. In the sense that having children is good. In the sense that you're forced to share your world with others. And in fact, you're sometimes forced to live in another's world. Mother has the child. Especially when the child's young, the mother has to live in the world of the desires of the child. It's very purifying. It's very purifying. And one who has those desires you can enter that with the conception that this is for my enjoyment, but the reality of it is if you stick it out, and when you realize it's not for your enjoyment, you just don't jump ship. If you stick it out, there's lessons to be learned in purification. That's why Borijam Prabhu, who's so wise, aptly made the statement that, you know, I was talking, you know, if a man wants to get married and, you know, wants a little independence and wants some opulence, or, you know, live a little nicely, have a wife, etc., then they have a license for their enjoyment. The man has to take care of the wife and the children. So there's an austerity involved to purify one. In other words, you have to pay for it. But he said, you know, if a monk doesn't have a wife but wants to live a high standard of living, then they have to seriously consider what austerity they're performing to become purified. Because if you're taking the opulence, and how you get purified. Anyway, so born out of that conception, again, a conception of I'm the object of others' desires, that is our position. We are to be seen by God, because God is Advayam Gyan. He's the totality of reality, the consciousness of everything. So everything is included. And therefore, he is the seen. We are the seen. He is the seer. And when you're in that position, then obviously it's a humble position. And it's born out of that conception, that spiritual conception, born from that are different emotions, like thinking oneself fallen. Now, again, the difference, and really crying helplessly and feeling distressed. Now, the difference between that and a lack of self-esteem is the lack of self-esteem is based on the egotistic conception. You're frustrated that you don't have the you know, so it's born out of ego. You may think I'm fallen, I'm distressed, etc., but your desire is to have it. So here, it's fallen and distressed, but it's not that they want to be God. They want to be the center. And then he feels jealous. Now, that's a completely opposite feeling, but again, it's just an English translation, but it's all born of the love. It's not born of the ego, even the jealousy. It's somehow born out of that desire to serve. So in one sense, they're opposite. He's thinking of all these other great devotees, and in ecstasy, thinking they're more than me, then some jealousy arises, but we can't equate it materially. The only way we can look at it, it's not born from the ego. So again, we're getting the association now of another great Vaishnava. We'll go to the next text, 22-23. Srimad Uddhava Uvacha Sarvagya Satyavakshreshta Mahamuni Barapabho Bhagavad Bhakti Margadi Gurottam Twayahe Yat Tatsarva Marikam Chasmat Satyameva Maisputam Vartaiti Mayat Gatam Asid Anya Api Duvam. Srimad Uddhava said, O mighty one, knower of everything, most truthful speaker, greatest of sages, you are the master who teaches the means and the end of bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. All you just said about me and more is self-evident to me. I knew it was true before you said it, and so did others. I'm trying to figure this one out, because I prepare the verses previously, and the one, and now I'm trying to figure out now why he's agreeing. most true. Well, we know that concept, but it's the guru that's saying it. So initially they must agree. All you said about me and more. Commentary, O knower of everything, hints that Narada is aware of who indeed are Krishna's most favored devotees, led by the divine Srimati Radharani. In Uddhava's judgment, Narada is the best of eloquent speakers like Yudhisthira, and the best of eminent sages like Vyasadeva. Of all who attempt to glorify the Supreme Lord and his devotees, Narada is the most competent. Uddhava therefore feels obliged to accept anything Narada says is true, even sometimes awkward to hear, like praise of him. Uddhava acknowledges Narada as his Prabhu, a spiritual master. So this dichotomy also, we're running a common themes. People in that culture, as much as they're feeling humble, to that extent they have faith. Faith is a trust. It's a trust in future. So you can't move in any direction without faith. And the more faith you have, the faster you move in that direction. And faith has to be based, real faith has to be based on some experience of your goal. Our goal is what? Our goal is to serve Krishna is good. What's our goal? Our goal is a realization, an experience of the sublimity of serving the divine. So what's our faith? That we experience some of that now. And to the extent of our experience and our trust, and those who profess that particular direction, that's to the extent that one makes spiritual advancement. So a proper culture instills such a high level of faith. Let's tell a story. You know, initially I would go in temples in India, you know, someone's house, and they have, you know, Krishna on, they have everyone on the altar, and then they have their relatives, their parents on the altar. So it's a lack of sambandhagyan, discrimination on one level, but the quality of faith. Honor thy mother and father, Acharya Mam, Vijanayam, Navamanyetakari. Accept the Acharya, one who teaches, whether it's father, whether it's mother, whether it's teacher, whether it's guru, whether it's government head. That person is God. He's representing God. So, and in this emotional state, Narayana, well, yeah, what you say is true. He's just thinking, you know, your guru, what you say is true, but he doesn't feel that way at all. Then, after saying that, then he reveals his mind. Even am yat prajay gatva kim atyang va bhavantata maha so bhagya manome sasajas churinatam gata. What I saw on my recent trip to Vraja took my pride and my special good fortune and suddenly crushed it to dust. Commentary, Uddhava cannot easily describe his impressions of Vraja. Therefore, he simply says, what I experienced. Because he saw the highest thing. He saw, what a place. My God, what a place. What a place. I don't even know for years it was underwater. Uddhava Kari. Uddhava Kari is the field, the forest, where Uddhava came and saw Radharani's ecstasy. She was in such a high state of ecstasy that she had gone mad out of ecstasy. And a bumblebee came, a black bumblebee, and she began to talk to the bumblebee. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. She saw that bumblebee as a representative. Radharani's ecstasy. Hamsa Dutta. Radharani faints when she sees on the shore of the Jamuna a forest bower where she had her pastimes with Krishna, and she faints, and Uddhava goes to the Lita goes to the Jamuna, which is flowing crystal clear, beautiful lotus flowers, and bumblebees taking the honey, and sees the royal swans of Vrindavan. And then, in that ecstasy, begins to talk to the swan, because the Jamuna flows from Vrindavan to Mathura, and Krishna had left. So the swan, Hamsa Duta, is a messenger. So she talks to the swan. She talks to the swan. Do you remember? Please tell Krishna. Do you remember that little small mango sapling? It is a lush tree now. That gives so many different things in that mood. So when Uddhava came to Vrindavan to deliver a message from Krishna and had some conception of himself as a devotee, when he saw the love of the residents of Vrindavan, whatever pride he had in his fortune was crushed when he saw that level of love. When he saw that I'm leaving Krishna now carrying his message, I'm functioning. The residents of Vrindavan cannot function a second without Krishna. And therefore, he cannot even describe it. Experiences are like that. How do you communicate experiences? How do you communicate experience? Difficult. Therefore, a lot of times, the higher subjects, people just give guideposts. Go there yourself and see. You can't really describe it. Before he visited Vraj, his pride in being favored by Krishna was as great as Mount Meru. When he saw the greater devotion of the Vrajvasis, his pride was quickly reduced to a pile of dust. Since then, I've understood the amazing sweetness of Krishna's mercy, of love for him, and of those who possess that love. Just by what I saw in Vraja, I came to be most blessed. I was swept away in an ocean of ecstasy, thinking myself completely favored by the Lord, a recipient of his most extreme mercy. So, Madhuri Prem, the sweetness of that love, and for Tom, as well as those who possess that love, then he understood the abhuta, the astonishment of that love and of that experience. What are we doing here in this world? Clinging to our ego. When we can have a drop of that mercy of Krishna if we surrender to Krishna, which is the door to bhakti. Why does not Krishna become arrested in our hearts? Why does Krishna not become arrested in our hearts? Upon hearing the Bhagavatam once, which is the second of the introductory verses in the Bhagavatam. Because we can't fully imbibe that message until we're fully surrendered to Krishna. And therefore, we have to hear the Bhagavatam in terms of the intellect, in terms of understanding Krishna and understanding our own position. We have to hear the Bhagavatam in terms of that, And then, when we fully surrender to Krishna, Krishna comes into our hearts, and then the Bhagavatam is just relished. We don't need to be convinced anymore. We just relish, and relish, and relish. Again and again, the message of the Bhagavatam. Vayam natu vitriptatma uttama shloka vartate yachrinvatam rasa gyanam swadhu swadhu pade pade. Vayam natu, we never become tired of relishing those messages. Vayam natu vitriptatma uttama shloka vartate, those glorious messages. Yachrinvatam rasa gyanam, hearing that rasa gyanam, swadhu, swadhu, the day, if it's rasa gyanam, if it's an understanding and the sweetness, the trinvatam of hearing rasa, of hearing love, then swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade, I am relishing again and again, swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade. So he's trying to communicate this. I've understood. Just by what I saw in Braj, I came to be most blessed. I was swept away in an ocean of ecstasy, thinking myself completely favored by the Lord, a recipient of His. Now that I've seen this, now I'm the recipient of Krishna's mercy. Now that I've seen this. I'm going to end today. Usually I have some kind of discussion with Mahamuni. I think it's provided some interest, but I'm not sure he's here today. So if anyone has any questions, please feel free to ask. Would someone like to say, Hare Krishna, it's nice to meet some of you, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna. No questions, huh? You just like to hear about Vrindavan. I think you finished the first part now. Now you just want to relish.
I'm hoping for the data that comes, Maharaj.
Well, we've discussed that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes, it will happen soon.
Thank you very much for that.
Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Is that Stella?
Yes, hi, Bo Maharaj. It was very
sweet class.
I really
enjoyed it. You know, I think every Saturday I should do 12 hours kirtan, and then my class would be better. If I can, you know, I tell you, I would do it because it was just such a sweet experience. And the way it is too, the variety and the exchanges, it just keeps you absorbed. You know, I mean, the different. There's even one kirtaneer that comes from the East Village. He even stayed in Chopati, you know. He's a very far-out guy. And he comes in with a fife. And then he has this other friend that's with him. And this friend, he does something restoring art or something, but he's a collector of Middle Eastern instruments. So each time he brings a different Middle Eastern instrument.
Oh, neat.
And they come in and they do kirtan with Gauravani. And it's just a very, very nice thing. I mean, the quality of the kirtans was just exceptional, really. It was great. Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you for coming on, Stella. Anybody else like to say hello, Hare Krishna?
Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is that?
Hana.
Kana, hey, nice to hear you, Kana. Great. Wow. Maybe you have a question? You want to say something?
Yeah. Why didn't Krishna ever go back to Vrindavan, even though everyone wanted to see him there?
Wow. Wow, what a question, Kana. Amazing. That's why your name is Kana. Well, there's many, many reasons, Kana, but one of the reasons is that they were in such deep separation from Krishna that Krishna feared if he came back to Vrindavan, he would have to stay with them for about 4 or 5 months to bring them out of their separation. But just as they were coming to consciousness, because they were unconscious in separation from Krishna, they would look at Krishna, feel happiness, and then think, oh, maybe he'll leave again. And he felt they may go into a deeper state of separation. The other point is because Krishna sent a message to the gopis that I'm always there in my bhava. It means in my love. So Krishna also understood that we're not separated from Krishna by a distance. We're separated by our love. So if they actually love Krishna, then they're actually always with Krishna, even if externally it looks like they're not. Anyway, you can speak with your father, your mother, and they can explain it further, Kana. But that was a great question. Thank you for that, Kana. And maybe, I don't know if you'll be free, but we have our children's festival on the 29th. And I spoke to Pyari Mohan. There's a good chance we'll get him, too. We'll have a professional magician, and all your friends will be there. Thank you. Good. Thank you, Kana.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Hare,
is anybody else above 9 or 10 that would like to ask a question? No, say hello. Anybody else to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard Henry. Hare Krishna, Henry.
I love hearing about your pastimes in New York and the Broome Street Temple. It's just really enlivening.
Okay, Henry, I got to remind to tell you, because that would be an event that you would have really appreciated. And because afterwards, too, you know, there's about 100 people, very nice people. And then after, it was just a talk. And then after the talk, they served, you know, some cold drink, some lemonade or something, and different pastries. By the way, Jai Subhadra makes this incredible, I don't know, pastry she made for everyone, and some people had some cookies. So you're standing around talking to different people. I felt I was at a cocktail party, but a spiritual one, you know, because I got a cup in my hand and I'm talking to someone. And I was meeting just so many nice people. Yeah, we'll have to keep you informed of that. Okay. Has someone else I heard in the background? It said hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Hanan.
Oh,
thank you for the nice advice, and I'd like to ask a question if there is still time.
Please.
I always hold this tension between appreciating the devotees and having some kind of discrimination, who to take association from and how, and I was wondering if you can help me with that. Give me some tips, like how we can appreciate the devotees and at the same time have some discrimination.
Yeah, well, very good. Thank you. I would say it in two ways. One, the first type of discrimination is not to expect perfection. You know, that people are conditioned souls. And we all have our weaknesses and inebrieties. So there has to be a liberality with others. We can be strict with ourselves. I mean, that's healthy. Because I've seen it even with people who I had conflicts with or did even things that I considered bad, I still learned to appreciate their dedication and surrender to Prabhupada and spiritual mission and Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada's godbrother, he said a beautiful thing, Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He said the greatest hypocrisy is this is something else, but I'll repeat it anyway, is to beg for God's mercy and then be not like it when we see it in others. So, but that's one thing. But the other two things I would say is, one, there's the heart and the head, and I think we can live on both platforms. I think Prabhupada did. From the platform of the heart, he was seeing that everyone is serving Krishna better than him. But from the platform of the head, he took the position of teacher and chastised his disciples. So I think there's a healthy way to feel in a spiritual way, very humble and very broad and very liberal. But at the same time, when necessity arises, make our discriminations based on our intelligence. And part of that discrimination is that there are people who are bad association. even in the guise of devotion, there are people that are bad association. But then it says, sadhur eva samantavya, we can consider them sadhus. But it says, consider means the mind, we don't have to associate. They may be fallen. But we can consider them sadhus, but we don't, sadhur, we can consider. We can also protect our bhakti and make decisions of which devotees we want to associate with. But also part of the discrimination is to also be self-introspective in terms of our own psychology. I don't know your psychology or anybody else's, but we have to look. Is it legitimate criticism, or am I too judgmental a person? Am I looking at this person in a way that I wouldn't want others to look at me? There's no medicine or solution other than bhakti and developing devotion in our heart. And if we develop devotion in our heart, just like Narada, that will guide us in a very beautiful way. But I see great souls. They're very generous and they're very liberal and they respect everyone. But when a decision has to be called for, they can be very strong. So it's just a question of a healthy mind. And when the mind is healthy and one can express emotions and open one's heart when necessary, and one can not be sentimental and take the proper decisions. Does that help? Anything else on this? Because it's nice to have dialogue if something wasn't clear or right to the mark.
It's very helpful. Thank you, Maharaj. I like especially your point about looking at my conditioning. And
I wasn't personal, but you can take it. Yeah, go ahead.
It's nice. Thank you. It's a very rich answer.
Okay. Thank you so much for asking that question. I think it's relevant to everyone. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Jai Nandadulal, Haribo. You would have enjoyed this weekend. These 12-hour kirtans are just ecstatic. And somehow it doesn't come out too crowded, because when it's 12 hours, there was only one time where I thought people couldn't get in the room.
Oh, and you know what else they had? They had an incredible Pushpa Abhi shake.
Oh.
I mean, there were, oh, so many flowers, and then they threw it out in the audience, and the flowers were flying around. And, you know, because I'm, you know, sannyasi, I have my own judgmental, critical nature when it comes to how things should be done to present Krishna consciousness. You know, several people who were in charge there came up to me and said, "Was that okay?" And I just said, you know, I said, whatever critical nature I had was crushed by the waves of ecstasy. And it was, you know, initially I said, what's going on? This is wild, you know. But then it was just, it was ecstasy. I mean, it was such a sweet thing. What a wonderful festival. Wow. Great. Thank you, Nandabula. Good. Anyone else? Who's that? I can't hear you. Who's that?
Is it Govardhan?
Okay, it was nice to see you yesterday, Govardhan, and your family. Great. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello? I can't hear the person in the background. It's very light. Who is that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is that?
Savitri speaking, Maharaj.
Who? Who is it? I can't hear you. Can you speak louder? Oh, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's so faint in the background. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Dee. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Who is it?
Dee.
Dee?
Uh-huh.
How do you spell your name?
D-E-E.
Where did I meet you, B?
In Austin.
Oh, D, right?
Yes. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, D. Oh, thank you. I was thinking of you today. I was wondering, oh, is D still on? That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Shastra Das.
Shastra, hi, Bo. Maybe I also should let you know when some of these weekends are going on, you know?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Send me an email and I'll look it up. I'll tell you the next one. Maybe you can come into the city, you know?
That would be great.
You know? Yeah, I really, really enjoy it, you know? And they serve prasadam three times a day. Not that that's a reason to go, but it's a whole package, you know? And, you know, it would be a great thing for you to come down, and it would be great.
I'd love to see Kasuba's program, too.
Okay. You know, and if you do it in advance, you can even rent a room right in the Bhakti Center if you wanted, you know, if they have about 15 guest rooms or something. Yeah. Or, and Brahmananda was there, too, so that was great, too.
Wow.
And Brahmananda, Radhanath Swami is glorifying, he was the first president. And you're like this one, Shastra. And Brahmananda says, but it's not a real glorification. You know why I'm the first president? He says, because Prabhupada had a principle that whoever brings the money should have the right how it's spent. And I was the only one that had a job. So he made me the president. That was good. Yeah, there's one coming up. I should tell you about it, you know? Be great.
Yes.
You know, you can come down the day before. Yeah. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. I kind of felt today it was great that I was able to share some of my, I don't know if you call it ecstasy, but it was certainly whatever joy I had. And that's great. Thank you all. Hare Krishna.